From 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning here with verse 1. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read this letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn, and that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more, when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all of his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. As we spoke of during our prayer concerns today, remembering in this festive week of celebration of our independence as a nation, gathering with family and friends for great feast around the table, amidst all of that celebration, great tragedy occurred with friends and loved ones untold in Texas with the floodwaters that took some 51 lives, 15 children. Embracing that family and that network of individuals with pain and tragedy beyond what we can even fathom. And when we hear of such natural disasters, such tragedies as that, oftentimes it hits at the core of our faith, seeking to find understanding. Where is God when such tragedy, desolation, destruction occurs? We have those questions in a collective sense when we witness debilitating acts that conquer so many. But sometimes we have those questions on an individual basis when we find ourselves at the point of desolation, destruction, sickness, sorrow, and loss. I think today's scripture of Naaman's journey in faith speaks to the heart of how we try to live into that question, where is God when adversity and desolation is before us? Naaman, a great warrior, as our scripture tells us, one who had risen to probably second in command of the entire nation. Aram was a group of people in Damascus, Syria, kind of near the area that Jesus ministered to with his disciples in Tyre and Sidon, just west of those, northwest of Galilee, where Jesus had grown up. This is the story of Naaman, who helped rule the land of Aram more than 800 years before Jesus ministered in that same area. And in spite of all of his wealth with the chariots, the beautiful entourage that he had to go see Elijah, in spite of all that, Naaman had a loss in his life. He was seen with his leprosy as one that was left at less than, one who was born different from everybody around him, one who was looked down upon as probably a sinful person, or at least his family had done something sinful for him to be born in this way that was different from everybody around him. So in spite of his great victories, he was still an outsider, an outcast in the eyes of the elite, and even probably members of his family who didn't understand what it was about Naaman, but knew that he was misfit to be part of the community. I can only imagine his questions of faith crisis, wondering what it was that brought this upon him. Out of all of his successes, what defined him most of all was the desolation that plagued his very body. But in the midst of his questions, he'd heard from this beautiful servant girl who is unnamed in our scripture today, who became an evangelist for the man of God back home in Samaria. She spoke up and she said, "Oh, if my Lord, the master of this house, could only go and see the great man of God, the prophet in Samaria, he could be restored." Naaman, like many of us, responds in trying to take things into his own hands. Don't we do that at times? We feel that God is giving us a way, and we maybe at times say, "I want to help God just a little bit." So what Naaman does, he goes to his king and he asks for help. And then the king, he wants to help even more. He thought, "Well, if there's a man of God in Samaria, I can even do one better. I'll go to the king himself, who's probably even greater than the man of God, and ask him to bring healing for Naaman." The king of Israel become so distraught, he said, "What kind of scheme is this? Is he trying to pick a quarrel for me?" Because the king of Israel understood. He said, "I am not God to bring life or death." Naaman was trusting in his power, in his wealth, in his position to be delivered from the peril that only God could deliver him from. You see, that's what the journey tells us as those who were his servants went with him, and Naaman had become so frustrated that he found rejection once more. I can only imagine his emotions when Elisha, did you hear it in our text today? Elisha would not even come out of his house to meet Naaman. He would not even put himself in his presence. I can only imagine what's going through Naaman's mind. Here it comes again. Once more, rejection, isolation. I'm misfit. I'm not worthy to be part of the community. Once again, I'm an outcast simply because of how I am. I don't belong. But Naaman didn't understand the essence of Elisha's teachings. What Elijah was communicating to Naaman is that healing from Almighty God is a gift of grace that depends not so much upon you as the recipient or me, Elijah, as the giver, but upon the grace of God who brings healing to all who trust in Him. You see, what happened is Elisha helped Naaman to transition from not only a physical healing, but a transition to putting his very life and faith in God. Did you hear when he came back? He said, I understand now there is no God except for the God of Israel. This introduced him to faith. But the beauty of his journey to having faith, of where was God in his tragedy, it wasn't in all of his power, in trusting the political process or the king to do for him what others couldn't have done. No, it was when he was led by a young servant girl and led by his servants who were with him to say, oh, master, why don't you just put your faith and trust in the words of the man of God and see if that will work. If you were willing to do something great, why can't you do something small? Isn't that the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? All we're called to do in Christ is simply put our trust in Him to do for us what we can't. Naaman understood that as he was delivered from his illness, by putting his faith in that God of life, the one true God, he would be restored with every part of his person. But it was those who were willing to speak to him in the midst of his rebellion and rage, the words of life that gave him hope. You see, God provides us opportunities as his evangelists to be his good news, to share what God has done good in our lives, to inspire others to trust in the Lord. When we wrestled earlier with the question, where is God in tragedy? Where is God in our sickness and sorrow? When we feel like Naaman as the outcast, when we feel like those broken families living in grief and sorrow today and saying, God, where are you in the darkness? Friends, what I've come to believe with every core of my body is that when it's darkest, where is God? God is that glimmer of light that gives us some hope. Where is God in the storms of life? God is the one calming into the boat and calming the seas. God is there in every tragedy. I believe in the tragedy of Texas today, God is present in the lives of those families, comforting them, nurturing them, giving them hope and peace beyond what words can communicate, that His life-giving love will never leave them or forsake them. Even in this tragic world, filled with devastation, Christ's love and work is prevalent for us all. You see, this journey of Nathan, I think it's an introduction to the gospel in a deeper way. Many of us are familiar with one of the most famous sermons Jesus ever preached in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus went back home. He'd just been working miracles, preaching the good news. He went to preach to the home folk, and many of us know the story. They said, hey, isn't this... this is just Joseph's son, right? He's a person of our community. Can anything good come from him? And Jesus opens the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he says, hear the good news. Hear the good news that I have come to proclaim. Release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to bring good news to the poor. This is the message I've come, that when you are outcast, when you are desolate, when you are broken and you feel like the world's against you, that's the hope that I came to bring as Savior of this world. And he ended that message, Jesus did, 800 years after Naaman's experience, by saying, you remember the story? The story of Elisha healing Naaman of his leprosy? He said there were people all throughout Samaria that had leprosy. But through God's grace, Elijah chose this one, this outsider, this Gentile, to proclaim even 800 years before the Messiah that God's love is for everyone, for all people who simply trust in Him. As we close our thoughts on this message today, I'm mindful of the story of when we find ourselves at challenges, crossroads events in life, crisis that we're going through, as Nathan was personally, and as the people grieving in Texas are collectively. We often find ourselves at a decision point. I remember my Aunt Darlene, when she lost her husband, Mac. It was a crisis for her, and she told me, Jody, I couldn't make it if I didn't live more into my faith. She said, when we go through tragedy, hardship, it seems like we either get more bitter in our faith or we get more better in our faith. The choice sometimes is ours. Will we lean into the life-giving love that only God can give? Many of us know the story of Robert Johnson selling his soul to the devil. The legend tells it at the crossroads of the Mississippi Delta on 49 and 61 to become one of the greatest blues musicians of all time. But there's a deeper story of that crossroads that many have not heard. In 1924, there was a restaurant that started called Abe's Barbecue right there at the same crossroads of 49 and 61. Abe Davis was a Lebanese person who had come to the United States looking for a better life with his family. He was down on his luck, wondering if they would continue to be outcast or if they were able to find a way to fit in. But through Abe's grace and generosity, somehow his establishment, his restaurant, became a place where folks who were different like him found a home there. Black folk, white folk, other folk who said, if Abe can make it, maybe we can too. And it was in that journey, when Abe found himself at a crossroads, he turned to Christ, the faith that would conquer him forever. And even today, if you look at their website, it says that experience with Robert Johnson may or may not have happened right here at this spot. But one thing that did happen, Abe Davis gave his life to Christ, and his family and community have never been the same. So friends, when we find ourselves in crossroads, challenges and crisis, when we find those moments when we say, where is God in the midst of this storm? May we remember that dear child of the faith is when God is most present. It was because of Naaman's ailment that he actually met the grace of God. Had he not gone through that adversity, he may never have embraced the faith and the life-giving love of our Lord. So even in our tragedy, God works for good to make himself known to all creation. Amen. Friends, let's respond in